This is the Women's Protection and Empowerment Podcast, where we give space to talking about women and girls in humanitarian settings. At International Rescue Committee, we deliver innovative programs focused on preventing and responding to violence against women and girls. We are in pursuit of a world where women and girls live free from violence as valued and respected members of their community. This movement is about equitable access to opportunities.
Empowering women and girls means a lot for development of the next generation, and it's important for the development of a country.
It's about catalysts for change.
Women and girls are not just the faces of poverty. They're also the key to overcoming.
It's about voice and respect.
The path to victory is still long, and I'm not ready to give up. This has become to me more than a work, but a passion to see women and the girls regaining what has been for long denied to them.
From IRC, this is the WPE Podcast. I'm Christy Crabtree.
In 2018, International Rescue Committee, with funding from USAID's Bureau of Humanitarian Affairs, embarked on a project meant to enable GBV staff and programs to more fully meet the psychosocial support needs of women and girls in displacement settings. The Women Rise Psychosocial Support Framework and Toolkit provides GBV programmers with a framework detailing the purpose and importance of GBV-centered psychosocial support work. It also includes practical guidance and tools for all types of GBV-centered psychosocial support groups, from informal activities like sewing and henna sessions to formal, structured group psychosocial support curriculums. The toolkit also includes the Women Rise curriculum, which we will dive into today with a panel of speakers. So I'm excited to welcome them to the podcast today. Rose, let's start with you.
Thank you so much. Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, wherever you are. My name is Rose Pony, WPE manager from Bedfield, South Sudan.
My name is Sadia Dahir. I'm responsible of service in Somalia.
Good evening, all. I am Maimuna Mohammed Fido from Nigeria Country Program. I'm the psychosocial support officer.
Thanks, everyone, for joining. We're excited to have you. I wanted to start with a basic question. What is Women Rise? Can you talk about what this project is and describe the structure and process that's been involved so far?
Women Rise, I can say, is a program which has been carefully designed to help women in the community, for them to get support from each other and to be able to discuss their emotions and problems in a very safe space. Just consider it a safe space, but rather the issue. And also the women that they are dealing with, they are people that they can trust and to be able to share their problems. The structure of this Women Rise is designed in such a way that will meet the emotional needs of women, that is enabling them to begin the healing process, that is from the trauma that has been brought about by the insurgency or other past events. It could be from the family, from the spouses, and so on. I think the process of the Women Rise, if you look at the process, it features different or diverse topics, modules, activities, and exercises that touch on almost all the major traumatic situations that an average woman will encounter, especially on the context of financial instability, maybe insurgency, because if you look at the situation we are today, a lot of women, they are into one or two issues just because of the financial instability or poverty, I might say, from my side.
This is Ross. What I want to add to what my colleague has just said is Women Rise is kind of a structure designed to help GBV practitioners to facilitate group psychosocial support sessions to either GBV survivors or women at risk. So when you look at it previously, we were using at the women-friendly spaces, we were using unstructured or the traditional like PSS, just doing storytelling, passing of the information to the entire members in there. So when you look at the process is start a staff training or the facilitators training. So after the training, it goes for that development. Like for us, we went ahead and started development of the implementation plan. And when we developed the implementation plan of the South Sudan, then the team, the facilitators, went the community and this kind of community engagement with the relevant stakeholders. When that community engagement with the relevant stakeholders was done, where they actually the ideas, after the selection of the group members, is of course we contextualize a bit. So we did not so much rely on the curriculum.
Psychosocial activities have been a part of women and girls safe spaces or friendly spaces for a long time. And it seems like what this project is really the innovation here is adding some structure to that. So I'm curious, you all piloted this Women Rise curriculum in your programs, but what made you and your teams want to be part of this pilot process? What about this was appealing to you, given that psychosocial activities are not new, but this was a new approach to it?
In Somalia, at first, I was very hesitant to pilot women's rights curriculum in Somalia because our culture is you cannot openly express your emotions or share your struggles to the community or to your neighbors. And it is very much on that we isolate in case of we have issues that either it's a personal or it's a family issues. So we also have a Somali proverb saying that men discuss their struggles while women discuss their success. So women in Somalia, mostly they discuss their success, that they hide the other side of the issues, and they always show that nothing is wrong with them telling their stories, but almost everyone is showing the strong side of each one. So the other problem is that we have limited psychosocial support services available in our location in Somalia. It was very important intervention focusing on emotional well-being on women and girls in the service.
The reason why we decided to pilot the women's rights program initially, what we are into, we are just into normal livelihood activities with the women, even though we have safe spaces, but we don't have a place where we can bring these women just together, where they can rock minds, share their experiences together. So another thing that also make us to pilot this, looking at the book, women's rights and the structural design of the curriculum, if you look at it, it focuses on the psychological and emotional needs of women, which would allow them to think about difficult subjects or the difficult things and express their thoughts based on the things that they would be discussing. Everybody would express his thoughts, his feelings, and for them to also have a safe and comfortable environment. So this is the reason why we decided to pilot the women's rights curriculum or program in our own location.
For us in South Sudan, we were really very, very excited when we heard about the pilot of this women's rights. Simply because, like I said before, we were doing structured and restructured psychosocial support in women-friendly spaces where many people, before the COVID, many people come in and there was a little bit of lack of trust among members. And also, like, we took an example of Girl Shine curriculum. So when we started the Girl Shine curriculum, we realized a lot of impact to the girls compared to when it is kind of unstructured. So we were really, really excited when we piloted that. Definitely we were going to realize a lot of impact of this psychosocial program to the women or for their better healing.
I'm curious, now that you all have gone through this curriculum and have piloted this, what has been the impact of the Women Rise curriculum on the women who participated in the intervention?
Women and girls who are in IDBs, they come from different regions in Somalia. Some lost their families during the civil war. So creating this group of women rights groups, the women who participated, they now rely on each other in terms of checking and helping each other when it's needed. They also have a good connection currently. They're also a single parent, mostly. They're the one who the breadwinners in the family. They're the ones who are taking care of their family. So now they have support group who mostly helping each other. The mothers who participate in the sessions, they informed us that now they are teaching their children on how to deal with their emotions. Now, women rights reach to even when children grow now, I think they need to have a skill so that they can deal with their emotions.
That's so significant, Sadia, to also hear not just about the impact on the individual women that participated, but also by extension, their family as well.
During our discussion with the facilitators, our weekly sitting discussion after the session, the team said that they have noted down both individual and group impact from the members. The women testified that they were able to improve health-wise because they're able to manage their stress. They can now manage their stress because of the breathing exercise and the practice of self-care. So because of that, they're able to manage or to cope up with their emotions. That is one of the impact which has really happened to each of the members. They also mentioned that the group are really, really proactive. They went further to support the women, other women in the groups, in the centers, because also apart from their group, they go to the women-friendly spaces. They support the women who emotionally who have problems. They support them. They teach them how they can cope up with their emotions. They do continue to do home visits. Even after the Women's Rights Pilot, they go to the community and visit their fellow women and even other women who have not been part of the Women's Rights, and they talk to them. They share experience. So this has really, really impacted a lot to women in the IDP camp, looking at the settings where everybody is traumatized.
I think that's powerful, that focus on the collective strength, women coming together and having that unity amongst them that has a kind of collective power to it. Maimoun, I'm curious in Nigeria what you've seen, if it lines up with what Sadia or Rose has said, or if there's anything new that you've seen in terms of impact.
Just like what Rose have said, there's a clear change in the confidence and resilience level of these women, because a lot of them, when they came, they were so reserved. They don't have friends. They don't have someone that they can share their experiences, even when they experience maybe violence or other things that stress them a lot. So at the course of this implementation, they were able to create a bond and trust within the group that, apart from that bond that they create, they were able to support other women, just like what Rose have said.
So we've talked a little bit about the impact on women that participated, but I'm curious if you can talk a little bit more about what it's been like for staff to facilitate Women Rise.
Okay, if I start facilitating Women Rise, it's not easy. It needs a lot of preparation. Before you start the session, you need a lot of preparation. And it's also learning environment. It was also a learning environment for me because I was able to understand emotions. I didn't have that knowledge of, dealing this kind of emotion. But now I understand my emotions. I was struggling with the self-blame. I couldn't let go anything in case if I say something mistake or if I did something wrong, I couldn't let it go. So I was struggling with the self-blame. Now I have identified positive strategies to address self-blame by doing self-care or any kind of ways that I can feel it's going to give me a relief. So it's both I've learned something, and it also you need to prepare a lot when you are facilitating.
From my side, I, as a facilitator, I was guided on how to use the curriculum. It has step-by-step. Whatever you need is there on the curriculum. It's a beautiful experience because when we started this facilitation, these women, they came as total strangers. They were closed books. But at the end, they were able to create bond in which at the end, they were able to raise in solidarity above their ordeals or above their struggles.
Though I was not directly involved in the facilitation, but of course we have feedback after each session. The facilitators were telling me that really facilitating Women Rise was both exciting and it has also challenges. So the part of the positive part was that the curriculum is like what my colleague has just mentioned. It's guided, it has some steps. So everything is there, just a matter of preparing it. Once you're prepared, everything goes smoothly. The other challenging part is that what you have noted is that Women Rise for sure requires at least two facilitators. There was a scenario they shared with me when one of the facilitators had a problem and went home and was not there during the session, but we can't postpone the session. So one facilitator was present during that time, and it was really challenging for her because she has to write a note She was a note taker and at the same time a facilitator. So it was so challenging for her. She was not able to pass, like pay attention to each and every member. So she said in her recommendation that it's really advisable to have like more than two facilitators. So it's both okay once you're prepared, you have the human resource, but it becomes hard when there are some gaps.
That goes perfectly into my next question, which is about the challenges you faced. Given some people are going to be listening to this episode and thinking about bringing Women Rise into their programming, what are the biggest challenges you faced and also the biggest successes?
Literacy or illiteracy was a major challenge for the facilitators and the participants as well, as some of the activities it demands writings and drawings, so which most of them they are unable to participate in due to their inadequacy, because some of them are literate. They can't read, they can't write. So I think it's a major challenge for these activities. They're able to use some other means for this student to understand what this curriculum actually is, not minding their illiteracy or their literacy level. So we were able to use scenarios, we're able to use like maybe a drama or story sharing. So they were able to grab what the curriculum really entails.
I want to put forward one challenge, which was noted. In South Sudan, looking at our context and also the context in the IDP camp where everybody put together, there's no way of income generating activities. So most of the women, they are the family head. So those women, they go outside to collect firewood in order for their families to survive. So bringing women like possessions to them was a waste of time because they want to make money. So from the beginning, the facilitators noted that time management was not really observed. Like when they talked about nine, reporting to the center for sessions around nine, you see some women coming around 10, others coming 11, others even don't turn up. From the beginning, like in the during the first session, that was the major challenge which was realized. But then as time goes on, when they started even doing the exercises and all that, they gain interest in the what the whole Women Rise discussion. And there they started to adjust. They first come to decision before they go to collect firewood and all that. So it was really hard from the beginning, but later on, as they gained interest into the curriculum based on how the facilitators did it, and they also the benefit. What the benefit they got, then they decided to come timely in the second and onwards.
In Somalia, some of the challenges we had was timing was a big challenge because 2 hours, it's not enough to cover all the activities in the sessions. And especially some sessions needs a lot of time. Also, language, it was hard for us to find someone who has knowledge in mental health psychosocial support and can translate in Somalia. So we have planned to translate the curriculum into Somali, and it was very hard to find someone who has both language in English and mental health to translate into Somali. Luckily, we have found one to translate, and the community in IDB speak different dialect from the consultants that translated our curriculum. So it was a big challenge for us to find a right word in Somali language. In every dialect in Somalia, it's very hard for us to find mental health and psychosocial support words. Also for me, it was very hard for me to, some of the groups, they request us to share my ideas. When we have a group discussions, they want to know my stories within the group. And for me, I don't feel comfortable sharing my stories to the group. So that was that. One of the biggest success in Somalia, we had a success story from one of the participants of Women Rise. She went back to university. First, she left, she dropped out of university and school at a young age, and she left the high school. She got married and got divorced now Now she went back to university. Now she's one of the public speakers, and now she advocates women girls to go back to school. And she's someone we can say that she's telling her story to advocate. Also, she was part of, there was an event that happened 2 weeks ago. She was part of speakers who talk about the importance of education and how it is easy for females to give up their dreams. So she was part of that event. Now we feel like because of women's rights, she's back to university. Now she's in semester three, she's studying nursing, and she wants to be GBV psychosocial support or GBV nurses.
Could you all tell us a little bit about any advice you would give for other organizations or staff who will be implementing Women Rise in the future? Any tips, tricks, guidance?
Okay, if I start, Women Rise had good impact on women and girls' well-being, and you need to have a good budget in terms of allowances of participants, because women and girls in IDBs are the mostly breadwinners in the family. So at least you need to give her an allowance on that day. And it's also good to have a refreshment and a venue where it's much quieter and have a space for them to talk. First, when we have piloted, we hire a venue and it was very comfortable for them to talk. But now we have another echo that and women's rights, we don't have that much budget to hire a venue. So we are now using our community centers, and you understand the community center is it within the IDPs, and it is very hard to concentrate because there's a kid just shouting and the playground around. It's a road that everyone can pass. So you need to have a good venue, which is quiet and have comfortable places. In case for the staff, in case you have a limited knowledge on psychosocial support, you need to find a good resource when you're facilitating. You need to have a good understanding more than what you are facilitating. It's not just like that you are reading a book. You need to have a good examples and a good knowledge on psychosocial support. You can find those resources on the internet. And also, in case of when you are targeting illiterate groups, you need to have 3 to 4 facilitators, because there's a lot of activities in the women's rights, so a lot of group work. So you can't have who's going to write all those ideas from the participant, and the hour is just 2 hours, so you can't cover. So if you can do both, for example, 10 women, 5 can write and 5 can't, that's fine. But if you don't have some of participants, literate participants, it's fine, just include more facilitators.
Some advice on budgets and facilitators, space. Rose Maimouna, I'm curious to hear from your perspective, what's some advice you'd give to those who are considering implementing Women Rise?
We documented at least a few recommendations. It's really, really advisable, like what Sadia said, really, really advisable to have a confidential space, someone to conduct a women's rights session, because there are issues that they discuss, there are experiences that they share. So if it is done in an open or in a community places, so it is very, very difficult. No, they might not be able to express themselves. So for us, for example, in South Sudan, we had the women-friendly spaces, which is really enough in all the sectors. Have time, like at this time, the women come for this time, for this particular activity. So we schedule their activity in a separate time where there's no any other activity. So that was really, really helpful to us. So that is the advice that I was sending out. You need to have that center or credential space. Other thing also, there's a need to train more than one staff. Or if we conduct from the onset, we will train like 1 or 2 staff, then this is staff. They have to cascade training to other staff back. When they acquire the knowledge, they have to conduct training to other staff who have never been in training, that they get the knowledge. Once they have the knowledge, in case of any gap, like one staff is off on leave, for example, or maybe the staff is sick, or maybe something has happened and the staff is not, maybe it has gone to, has left work, at least another person will be able to step in who has knowledge to pass this.
So to add up to what my colleagues have said, they have mentioned most of the important things. They've talked about the structure. Let them have a safe space before implementing the program. They should be able to have a structure and also train the staff. So to add up to that, I would like any organizations or team that wants to pilot this. So on the part of the facilitators, they should be patient, because at first, explaining this to the participant for them to understand or taking them through the sessions, at first, these women, they will be so reserved. They will look as if they don't understand what you're saying. So I would like the facilitator to be patient with the participants. So he should try to explain it, ensuring that everybody understands. And at first, the team, they might be so reserved. So I would love the participants to allow every participant the necessary time they need to trust the group so that they can be able to start opening up, because at the first stage, they might not like to start sharing their experiences. So they should give them enough time for them to be able to trust each other, bond, before they can be able to start sharing their experiences. So another thing that I would love for them to take into consideration, especially when they are dealing with people that they are not literate, they should adopt a process of interpreting activities or exercises through scenarios and verbal descriptions for easy understanding. I think this is going to help them a lot when implementing this women's rights.
Some really thoughtful advice for taking this forward, and I think the impact here is clear as well. I want to thank everyone for joining the podcast today. Rose Pony, Maimuna Muhammad, and Sadia Dahir, thank you so much for lending your voices and your expertise to us today. I think we all are really excited about the release of the Women Rise curriculum. And for those of you that are interested in learning more, the Women Rise Psychosocial Support Framework and Toolkit is available on the GBV Responders website at womenrise.gbvresponders.org. And special thanks to USAID's Bureau of Humanitarian Affairs for making this podcast episode possible. Thanks everyone for joining.
Safety, voice, respect. Join the WPE movement.